IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
A new poll from the Social Research Foundation, the SRF, has shown that the ANC stands to lose significant support without Cyril Ramaphosa as president. Without Ramaphosa at the helm, the party would potentially be smaller than the Democratic Alliance. That is what these results showed. Well, how accurate are they? I'm never really sure as to what they really mean. Gabriel Krauss is a writer. He's an analyst at the Institute of Race Relations. Gabriel, good morning. Thank you for joining us again. How are you?
Good, Howard. Thanks for having me. How's it?
Good. Thank you. So listen, I'm certainly no fan of either Ramaphosa or the ANC, but I'm always a bit skeptical about this separating him from his party. Is this a real thing, or is this a tactic?
I think it's important because of a couple of factors either way. One is that if Ramaphosa is to stick around, he's not going to stick around for the next national election as a presidential candidate. So the ANC is going to be on the ballot in 2029. Ramaphosa won't. We need to think about those two coming apart inevitably. Another reason it's important is that when the CR17 NDZ contest occurred, that's actually when I got into the world of political analysis. And it was on a particular set of polls, the largest in the country's history to this date, commissioned by ENCA, done by Mark Data. And the reason these polls were so interesting was that at the electoral conference, everyone knew going in it was too close to call. It was very 50-50. And the question was, what do the people want? If ordinary ANC voters could have voted between Ramaphosa and NDZ, what would they have wanted? Mm-hmm. And the polling found that he was 7-8 times more popular than her amongst ANC supporters. And the reasons were, if you ask them, like, what are you looking for? Do you want more radical economic transformation, or do you want more business-friendly policies? More business-friendly policies were 7-8 times more popular than RET. So really, and Omri Motlhale, who's a sort of MK veteran ANC stalwart, he was calling for a one member, one vote primary system in the ANC, because he thought that would give the new leader a strong mandate to do what the people really want. If we'd had that, Ramaphosa could have gotten in, and he could have brought in a suite of policies that would have reminded people of Trevor Manuel's stewardship of the Treasury, sort of very serious pro-growth policies. Instead, he comes in and promises the very first thing, expropriation without compensation. So he has molded himself to the party from that very moment and ever since, by carrying its worst ideas forward with great gusto. But the reason it's important to distinguish the two is it's important to try and read the average ANC voter. What are they really looking for? And it's a pretty amazing finding that right now, it seems like a significant portion of ANC voters are still with the party because they're kind of still hoping that Ramaphosa will be that business-friendly reform guy. So, you know,
He hovers there, doesn't he? Yeah. He hovers on the edge of this business world, and he's very comfortable at the, you know, the G20. Like he knows how to play this international game, the business game, but at the same time he's done an appalling job on the South African economy, hasn't he?
I think that's right. I think that the numbers are pretty damning. It's I've said this a few times to some of Ramaphosa's biggest sponsors in business. If you look at every economic indicator, gross fixed capital formation, GDP per capita, jobs, and go down the line, Ramaphosa has done much worse than Jacob Zuma. It kind of takes people aback a little bit because Zuma's got this, you know, he's got this reputation that I think, you know, from the I don't know, the rape charge going into his presidency, the personal graft, the uncouth language, the inability to pronounce numbers. You know, there's like a lot of jokes that have been leveled against Zuma and a lot of rank criticism that's well deserved in a lot of cases. That's made him an easy character to disesteem. Whereas Ramaphosa has this veneer of respectability. He's mostly cool, calm, and collected, and that is presentation. That's packaging. What's inside, the actual policies, are really what determine the direction of business investment decisions, the ability for ordinary people to add value that they can, you know, keep or to be shunned further out of an economically growing system. On those numbers, it's damning. It's damning. Sorry.
Why do you think it is that we continue to almost delude ourselves about Ramaphosa? I know I do. When the event that you're talking about that was too close to call, we were obviously very, very excited because it meant a focus on economy, which never happened. And then there was if you fast forward all the way through to the Hamas-Israel conflict, Jewish community devastated by his lack of empathy for any part of that. The way in which he's handled the foreign the American situation, the debacle, it's just, and these are just the new ones, and yet every now and then, you know, when he gave his speech in Pretoria at his inauguration in this past election, and he spoke about understanding that, you know, the mistakes of the ANC and being a president for everybody, we all took it. I certainly did. That he was saying, wow, these are really the right things to say. And yet he's just gone even further back, I would say, from where he was. How does he do that? How does he keep pulling us in a way?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think anecdotally, the first speech that I recall him giving after he won the ANC leadership contest in 2017 was to a Jewish community hosted by the chief rabbi. Mm-hmm. And he spent a lot of the time quoting the Institute of Race Relations, Reasons for Hope report.
That's interesting.
So I think he really does say the right things. And I think that I think another part of it is, if you think about the alternative, where would the country be if Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma had been president? Yeah. I think we probably would have had expropriations without compensation by now. Mm. I think the GNU would not have happened. I think that part of the reason people were excited in the 2024 election, and the SRF polling shows us, IRR polling shows us, most people really do like the idea of a government of national unity. Even people that are firmly critical of the ANC think it's better to really try and work something out together 100%. Rather than hand things over to what Stiernesen called a doomsday coalition.
Right. Gabriel Krauss, we do need to leave it there. They are indicating I need to go to adverts. Gabriel Krauss is a writer and an analyst at the Institute of Race Relations. Thanks, as always.